The headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You know you did it. And you know you said it, but you really wish you hadn't, because what you did or said wasn't very nice. Don't you wish you could take it back, get a do-over, clean it up? Well, maybe you can, but how? Well, tonight we're talking about mistakes, misdeeds, missteps, faux pas, and how do you fix that? My guess are Nicole Kirby. She's a celebrity publicist. We're going to be joined eventually this evening by Eugene Craig, who is a political commentator. We want to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What did you say? What did you do that you wish you could take back? And don't forget, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So what did you say or do that you wish you could take back?
Wow.
Let's cut a couple of branches off that shade tree that you put up when you were talking to your best girlfriend.
Well, you know, I try to, you know, in my line of work, I'm always trying to be, the demeanor be very, professional and integrous and coiffed and
mind
and diplomatic,
yes,
and politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's always that fine line when you get pushed to the extreme or to the end. For me, I always say, I'm nice until I'm not.
Oh, my.
And that means we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the issue, but it's you, and you're getting ready to be dealt with.
Oh.
So I'm learning how to handle my own proclivities as it relates to, handling those faux pas as we go into 2019.
Maybe a few colorful metaphors.
Yes, exactly.
A few four-letter words.
I can. I always say, yes, I know how to kick open the door and flip over a table. So,
oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I'm working at it. But hey, we're trying to all get better, and that's why we're here.
Jesus send the money changers. You know? Eugene Craig just walked in.
Appreciate it.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Dealing with
horrible drivers.
Yeah.
And the rain.
That's right. Dodging raindrops. So what is it that you said this year or did that you wish you could take back?
I actually got a recent one.
Oh, really?
So I do Rolling Show regularly, like weekly, once or twice a week. And I actually dropped the F-bomb earlier this week.
Ooh,
that is not good.
But a good thing, we're unfiltered. So, you know, we don't have any FCC requirements or anything. But, you know, that's the only word I don't drop. You know, everything else is fair game. And I try not to drop the F-bomb. And it's just, yeah, it was in regards to the NYPD story with the young lady and the
who
two
had
cops.
The baby snatched.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You got two cops that are pulling baby by each of his arms and another cop waving a taser. You know, it may just give you the okay to maybe put your phone down and maybe actually intervene as a citizen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of phones, what about tweets and other social media posts? Is that the absolute worst? Do we need to ask, for example, Kevin Hart about some do-overs, not only just in 2018, but certainly in years past?
I mean, the thing is this, all right? I'm somebody that grew up with social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up with it. And, you know, one thing that we saw over 2018, and probably going to see a lot more of in 2019, is that those old tweets are getting dug up. And I believe that there is context for everything. If you were on Twitter in 2010, 2011, 2012, maybe even 13, Twitter was lit.
Mm-hmm.
and there's no other way to put it. Twitter was literally unfiltered. Twitter was lit. I mean, you know, you had people like Fabulous that was roasting everybody. I mean, you know, Kevin Hart made his name on Twitter. I mean, I went to Bowie State University, right? And famous promoter in the city, Luke. You know, Luke Luwal, Luke Skywalker, you remember my Twitter. Luke and Kevin went at it on Twitter for maybe like a whole like week and a half in the run up to Kevin performing at Bowie State when he did his college tour. And his first thing when he got to campus was just, you know, go at Luke from stage.
Oh, my.
And so this is just to give the proper context to Twitter. And so, you know, look, we're at a different place culturally, we're at a different place societally than we were then, but I do think that it may be wrong to apply those societal standards to today's, you know, situations.
202-319-7810. 202.
Not defending what Kevin said, by the way, though.
319-7810. Do you want a do-over of some of the things you've said or done in 2018? And how do you fix it if you realize that what you said or what you did just wasn't nice? Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's the thing in this era of unapologetic executive-level politicians. Is it... Do people really say they're sorry now? Or do people have... Do they feel that they have free rein not to apologize, not to redo, not to be contrite?
No, they don't. And in this day of social media, there are several layers. Some people actually want to put things out to be provocative.
Absolutely.
Because they want that attention grab. They want that opportunity to be in the limelight so that they are upscaling their branding.
But not even that. I'm talking about your interpersonal relationships. I mean, when you're talking to somebody at church or you're talking to somebody, even if it's how you address a waiter, something you said to your mother.
Yeah, I think those relationships aren't necessarily been affected. I think, you know, I think the closer the relationship, the more like human touch the relationship, the more people feel the need to apologize
right.
to preserve the relationship. But I agree with you. When it comes in terms of public sphere, absolutely not. I give you two examples. Tommy Lauren. You know, Tommy came on the scene and literally said whatever came to mind and whatever she thought would rile up conservative voters.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you Tommy Lauren 2.0, Candace Owens.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back literally 2.5 years from today and look at what Candace was saying, it's completely 180 what she's saying
Candace,
now.
Candace, so you're talking about the black conservative.
Black company. She's not a conservative at all.
Yeah, right.
She's very far from a conservative. But what she saw Tommy Lauren was doing, put a black face
mm-hmm.
on it,
mm-hmm.
and people love her. And she doesn't apologize for anything. I mean, it's crazy. But...
Yeah,
it's the era that we're living in.
That's intentional.
But people are rewarding it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you build an audience off of it. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, part of it is that there is a reward for saying whatever comes to mind. There's an audience for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play something for you because we asked a couple of people about some do-overs. And I must admit, some of these do-overs are somewhat mild compared to or some of the regrets. But let's hear what some folks have to say about this.
Okay.
I wouldn't redo anything. I would just speak my truth and say what I want, what I need to say at the time that needs to be said.
In 2018, I'd honestly just redo my transition from Orlando to D.C. could have been a little bit smoother and did a little more due diligence on finding a spot to live at.
See, in both of those cases, it already what I'm hearing is it really is about me.
Yeah.
It's not about what I've said or done to other people. It's I'm going to speak my truth, and if you don't like it, tough patooties.
Yep.
And my move. I was just dumb because I hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like somebody's couch surfing for a bit.
Right. You know, that's only good for a certain amount of time when you're in a certain amount of space. But when you get to a different level and you're talking about you have people that are endorsing you and backing you
mm-hmm.
or you want to make a change or an elevation, then you change how you think about saying, you know, whatever I've tweeted or put on social media doesn't matter.
But think about this. Okay, talk about the elephant in the room, the guy living, you know, 6 miles away from us. You know, he has endorsers and backers across the country. I mean...
Who's that? Say the name. Can you say the name?
Yeah, you can speak.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, I mean the highest levels of CEOs, the highest level of political figures, I mean, you know, United Republican control of government, and literally, you know, can go out there and say something like both sides in Charlottesville and not, you know, suffer any real consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when that's the standard that's set, you know, because there is a moral direction that comes from the leader of your country. When that's the standard that's set, I don't think it's far-fetched to look at the rest of the country and say, okay, this is where we're going as a country.
And you said something very critical. You said the standard that is set. And that's why that clip we just heard, the young lady said, hey, I'm going to speak my truth and I'm not going to change it. That's the standard now. Mm-hmm. And like I just said, that standard may not be now, may not be tomorrow, may not be next year, but it will come back and you will have to deal with whatever standard that you said, hey, this is what I live by.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Missteps, mistakes, and misdeeds. Do you want a do-over? How do you fix those things? Elder McCoy calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I would just like to say, sir, that when you do something to somebody or say something bad to somebody or about someone, you have to do like the chanting spiritual say. You have to clean up what you mess up. You can't do something to somebody and think you're going to get away with it. You have to first go and pray over the matter. Then you have to watch what you get ready to say to the person and just bite your tongue, hold your peace, and let the Lord fight your battle.
Okay. Elder, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. What was it that you said or did this year that you wish you could have taken back, that you wish you had not done? Sometimes we say things and we see those things literally falling out of our mouths and you just want to,
no.
And you just want to, right? No!
And then you try to backstep and clean it up.
Right.
Listen.
And then you get the deer in the headlight looks.
If Apple's listening and they want to figure out how to sell iPhone 11.
That would be very good.
Unsend button.
That's right.
But the Gmail does have it.
Gmail does it.
And you
have it delayed.
And you can adjust it. So
Google
is a
long
there. You need a 5 or 10 second one.
Did I give too much smoke in that email?
Right.
just a little bit.
Per my last.
Reputation correction. That's right.
Yeah. How about that? And I want to talk to you about correcting the reputation of some of your clients as well when we get to the other side. But the phone number is 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to hear from you. You don't have to give your real name. You may have to adjust the story that you tell us depending on how big and bad what you said or did actually was. But give us a call. The lines are open again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. On the other side, we're going to talk to Tony calling from D.C. So please don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Stay with us. We'll be back on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about missteps, mistakes, and misdeeds. Don't you want a do-over? How do we fix those things that we've said or done that we've regretted doing in 2018? How can we make it better? My guests are Eugene Craig, political commentator, and Nicole Kirby, celebrity publicist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Tony. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
A few years back, I posted a comment about my sister on Facebook. It was a negative comment. But what I didn't realize was that it offended my niece as well, who I'm very close to and I love very dearly. And it hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, she wouldn't talk to me. But fortunately, we did connect again and were able to get over it. But my point is that sometimes the comments that you make may affect other people, not just the ones that you meant to affect.
How did you fix that?
Well, I actually, you know, we met on a mutual ground one day, and we just, we have, like I said, we had a very close relationship. And so I explained to her that I didn't mean to hurt her. It was geared toward her mother, who I meant to hurt. But so she forgave me. It's as simple as that.
Interesting. Tony, thank you so much. That's an interesting comment. How important is forgiveness when you've done something or said something wrong? Is that a way of fixing it, or is that just a way of fixing you?
I think both.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah, I think the person has to be forgiving and want to move on. I think moving on is a two-way street.
Right. There has to be.
As Oxymoron as it sounds.
Right.
But yeah.
Maturity on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Maturity on both sides.
You have to, on one end, be able to, you know, some level of self-accountability to the situation. But on the other end, you have to be willing to accept that level of accountability with the situation. And so, you know, you can't move on until both sides are willing to actually, you know, reconcile, you know, the odds.
But what about people who just don't believe they've made a mistake, or at least publicly do not believe that they've made a mistake? You know when what you said or did is bad, but you're just going to be puffed up and defensive, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's where you are getting into the character of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no way of changing that. That person has to change him or herself. But when you're dealing with someone who is character flawed and they don't want to take responsibility for what they've said or done, no matter how you try to explain it or explain to them how you feel, and they take no ownership, best to just walk away.
I know all of your clients are perfect, but but how do you clean up a client's mess?
You don't clean it up. You present them in a better light, and you present them to the public showing that they're trying to do better or trying to improve. Either it's a product, a person, or an event, an organization, that whether or not you've rolled out a product and it was defective, you say, I'm sorry. You give them a free product, and then you give them something on top of that.
Yeah.
Same thing with the person. They have to come out and be apologetic and say, I am sorry. I won't do it again. And then move on. The great thing about the black community is that we're very
extremely forgiving.
We are extremely forgiving. But if you come back and you're humble and you say, I want to make this right, okay, let's move on. Let's make it right.
Now, this is not a black thing, obviously, but certainly one of the highest profile mea culpas that we've seen in 24 hours? Michael Cohen? the president's former personal attorney and fixer. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, him, Chaos Rosa. There's been a couple folk in that circle that, you know.
Flip belly roll.
How do you rehabilitate that person? And I'm not talking about going to federal prison.
I will say this. I think it's been kind of easy for Cohen because it's one of those things where you look at him and you look at the person he's standing next to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you know, we kind of hate you, but the guy next to you, man, he has no shot.
Right.
Uh-huh. Now, I will say that didn't necessarily work for Omarosa. I mean, I don't think there was any coming back from telling, you know, the entire black community, they're going to bow to this guy.
No.
You know? But when it comes to Cohen, when it comes to even Mike Flynn and, you know, maybe some others that, you know, may have gotten caught up in the Mueller chapter, mm-hmm. today's grand jury hearing,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you put them next to that guy, it kind of becomes kind of easy.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sabrina calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Sabrina, what's on your mind?
Hi. Actually was calling. I thought about it, and I made a huge training investment for myself, and it kind of put me in debt without me really thinking about it. I wasn't prepared. I think it was more about me checking off a box, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did I waste my money, but I really didn't complete the training as well because I didn't have time, you know, to commit to what I actually signed up for. That's a huge regret for me and a debt at the same time. So
what's,
kind of disappointed.
How do you plan on fixing that short of hitting the lottery? because really it's not so much the financial mistake, but the emotional repercussions of
the initial investment, not finishing the class, and now the debt. How do you rehabilitate that mistake? What's your plan?
You know what? You said something on a previous call. I'm forgiving myself for making such an impromptu and not a smart decision.
Claps for that.
So for me to do that, it gives me an opening to say, you know what? The course also is open, so I can jump in at any time, which is great at that point. So I just need to buckle down and just schedule it accordingly so I can, you know, accomplish my investment.
Well, there
so
you go.
There's an opportunity for me to do that, which is great because that's not always the opportunity to do that.
There right. So it sounds like she's willing to self-correct her mistake.
There
very
you
good.
Go.
Yeah.
Sabrina, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate it. Let's go to Camille. Camille calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Camille. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling regarding the question.
Mm-hmm.
When I say in 2018 that I think it was that I regret. So there was this person that I was dating. I was coming back from Chicago to Maryland, and I needed a ride from the airport. She had sent me a book as a gift. And I said, can you ask your friend that has a limousine service to pick me up Saturday morning? And she said, well, you know, he's a, I think it was a Seventh-day Adventist. I have no knowledge of this religion.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, he doesn't drive on Saturday. He only drives me, you know, as a favor.
So what was the mistake? What?
Well, I said to her, I don't need a book. I need a ride from the airport.
Camille.
Woo. Okay.
At the time, I didn't know. She had been ill, you know. She was battling cancer.
Oh.
And I didn't know that this was true. That, you know, he really didn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't hear from her after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she was upset by my statement. You know, she said, you're being a little snippy today. I didn't hear from her after that, and she passed away July 12th on my 50th birthday.
Wow.
I never got a chance to say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never got a chance to take that back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's hard because this was truly a beautiful person. And at her memorial, I heard so many people talking about what an amazing person she was. She was a doctor and an attorney. And I heard so many people talking about her friendship and her honesty. But because of a previous experience with a person that just lied constantly, the overflow of expecting someone to be dishonest is what caused me to say what I said. And I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
My daughter could have picked me up, which is what happened.
Yeah. Have you considered forgiving yourself?
I don't even think I know how to do that at this point. Because how do you take something back when you lashed out and it was unnecessary?
Mm-hmm. Let me give you a bit of advice. I'm certainly not a counselor, but from this experience, and I've seen this, and we've even spoken about this on the show, when there are things that we want to say to relatives or friends that we never either took the time to do or say, and then they pass on. One of the things that I know a lot of counselors and clinical psychologists suggest is to write that person a letter.
Mm-hmm.
The letter is not for them. That letter is for you. Saying the things that you would have said if you had one more moment with them. Because it may provide some clarity, closure, and clearing for you emotionally, because I suspect that before this comment, this was a person who did love you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I would suspect that a snippy comment and some by someone who loves someone else, they also, she probably also knew you and knew that you didn't mean it. So
thank you.
Any thoughts at all? Yeah. Well, Camille.
Well, Camille, God knows your heart.
Yeah.
And don't hold on to that. We can hear your pain in your voice. But just know that God knows your heart. And I agree with Harold. Take it, write it in a journal, write yourself a letter, seal it, and it's done. Release it. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
You did not do what you did with any malice intent.
Not at all.
Okay?
Not at all. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, don't carry the burden. Don't carry the burden. Camille, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Camille really brings up an interesting point, because when you do or say something that is untoward, obtuse, and you know that you should not have, when do you start correcting?
Yeah.
Right away?
I think it becomes a moment of self-enlightenment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you first have to, at some point, acknowledge that something is wrong or was wrong.
Right.
And, you know, per last caller, you know, that may come soon, it may come too late. But it starts with that self-enlightenment, that self-acknowledgement that, hey, you know, this was wrong. Because you may not know it's wrong.
Right.
You may not see it as wrong, you know, but it's life. That's life.
And we've been speaking about things that you said in 2018, but how far are people willing to go?
And that's the thing, because when you talk about self-correcting, particularly when it comes to marriages and in families, friendships, it could go back 5, 6, 10 years. Remember what you said that one time? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember that. But if someone brings it up, then you have to be willing to sit down, be present with them, and understand their hurt or their pain.
Yeah, I really agree with that. But that's something that you also have to be ready to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't be insincere. And because even in the case of Michael Cohen, as we've discussed, many of the pundits this week and even the judge in that case just didn't believe that he was contrite, and that's really a difficult thing. We're going to be back after this break again. What were your missteps, misdeeds, misstatements, faux pas? The shade that you,
the shade of it all.
The shade.
We've seen a lot of smoke this year.
Yes, indeed. How do you fix that? We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we continue our conversation about missteps, mistakes, and misdeeds. Do you want to do over? How do you fix those things that you've said or done that you know you, as my grandfather used to say, that you oughtn't, that you oughtn't have said? How can we be better? So how do you... Can you attempt to clean up something, Kevin Hart, and and make a bigger mess, Eugene?
Absolutely. You can. But I think it depends on perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know a lot of folk are conflicted about the particular Kevin Hart situation. There are some folk that say, hey, you know what, maybe you should have just apologized again and, you know, moved on with it. You know, but there are some other folk that, you know, I'm not in the business of quoting, you know, Andrew Schultz and Akash from Flagrant 2 podcast, but, you know, hey, you apologize once, you know, they can, if that's not enough for folk, you know, keep it moving. And I think to some degree, Kevin may have had a point there, because what it becomes is to, you know, people hold you hostage over old things. I mean, let's look at Chris Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at Chris Brown Rihanna situation. How many times has a guy apologized for that situation? Rihanna's moved on. The families have moved on. LA County's moved on. Mm-hmm. But But there are members of the public that haven't moved on. I mean, he can't do an interview without somebody bringing up the topic, bringing up the situation. And what it becomes is, you know, do you continue to, you know, let people hold you hostage in this particular situation? Or do you draw a line in the sand and say, hey, look, I've already dealt with that. You can either make a decision based off of, you know, me previously dealing with it, or we just, you know, move on and go our separate ways.
See, I think, Eugene, I think that's a bad example. And this is why I say that. Because, I think you're right that in Chris Brown's case, yeah, people can hold you hostage, but see, after you apologize, then you can't have highly publicized drama after that.
I mean, that wasn't. I mean, people have situations. And I'm not defending his. I'm not defending his situation, but I'm just saying.
No. I'm not saying that. But
in the Kevin, let's Kevin Hart situation. I mean, these tweets are what just 10 years old almost. I mean,
right?
The clips are decades old. I mean, 10 years old as well. I mean, he's literally apologized for this multiple times over, and what it becomes is, you know. You know, the other elephant in the room, you know, do I, you know, and particularly in Kevin Hart's case, being essentially the most, you know, a black acceptable comedian in mm-hmm. white America.
The crossover.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you continually to be held hostage by this? I mean, because this is the thing. If they hold him hostage with the Oscars, he wouldn't do anything else. It's going to come back up again.
But my point is with the Chris Brown thing, and I don't know the full... the post Rihanna history, but I do remember there was an incident at his home mm-hmm. involving
other women,
other women, and I'm not suggesting that they were abused, but they were mistreated,
right?
And so, when you've been accused of domestic violence, when there is video in the case, or not video, I'm sorry, but
imagery,
photographs, whatever evidence mm-hmm. that has happened, then you can't burp in front of a woman without covering your mouth.
I agree with you there.
And just like let's talk about, okay, Ray Rice. One could argue that he has, as horrible as it has been, you could argue that he was contrite, and we hope that he is treating his now wife
much better,
much mm-hmm. much better, and is willing to speak out against domestic violence. He can't again afford
another hiccup.
Another hiccup.
And see, that's the thing. You can take an issue, and both of you men can be at jeopardy for a hiccup.
Oh yeah.
And so you come out and you wrap your apology.
Oh, we call it Kirby. I'm saying it's hard to get. I'm calling Kirby. Listen.
But you know, you come out, you wrap your apology around a lot of sincere adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
But then the backroom conversation is, it bet not happen again.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you're going with Chris Brown.
Oh, yeah.
So he's, the sincerity, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It was how I was brought up. I saw that in my household. Yep. Okay, we get it. And you got an apology. We accepted it. But you can't turn around the year after and you're arrested, the year after you're fighting, the year after something. Then people get tired. They get tired of that. And then all of those apologies mean nothing.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. And now, for those who want to clean up nicely, but along these same lines, and make a bigger mess, as a publicist, do you or have you ever had, you know, a come to Jesus conversation with your clients?
Pretty much, Harold, all of them.
I'll clean this up once, never again.
And you know, that's the thing. First of all, you have to have a demeanor to let them know, I'm not here to judge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to talk about you. I do my own non-disclosure. You don't have to give me one. And I let them know, I don't care about what you do at 10 o'clock at night. I just don't want to get a call at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, that's quotable right there.
So here's the thing.
That's a quotable.
So here's the thing. When that call comes in at 2 a.m. in the morning, I am the first one that has to run into the fire. I put on my fireman's gear, and I'm running into the fire. But yes, Harold, the first conversation that we have, and we're sitting in a back room in a restaurant or at Starbucks, and I say, okay, so I look forward to working with you. I know where you want to go. So now, let me tell you something. I want to know all of your secrets now. What are you doing now? In addition to your wife, who you're seeing? Are you gambling? Are you doing any drugs? I don't care if you are.
Only way to protect.
I just want to know.
Because you don't want to be surprised or blindsided.
Because we can't have any surprises.
Only way to protect and prepare.
But certainly you've heard some stories that made you clutch your pearls.
Every time someone calls, because you know that their income, their name, mm-hmm. Is at jeopardy. Because we are forgiving, but we're also fickle.
Yeah.
So one minute you're on the, you know, that's why I said never read your own press clippings. Because one minute you're the flavor of the week, the next minute people are like, you know what, I'm about sick of your garbage, and we're not gonna Chris Brown, we're not gonna take your apology again.
Mm-hmm. So and
you know what, can I say something?
Go ahead,
one
please.
Thing I don't understand, you know, we were talking about the Kareem Hunt situation on Roland recently, and we're talking
the
about
the Kareem Puff,
Kareem Hunt situation.
Kareem Hunt, yes, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And what I don't understand is once you reach a certain level of wealth, once you reach a certain level of notoriety, even record labels, right? If I'm a record label, mm-hmm. if I'm a head mm-hmm. exec, if I'm, you know, Lucian Grange, I'm putting former Secret Service around somebody like Tekashi 6ix9ine.
That's the stupidity of it all.
I mean, I'm spending that $250,000, maybe $500,000
to protect your investment.
To protect your mm-hmm. investment of mm-hmm. maybe $20 million here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
But here's the thing. When your protection is your boys.
Yeah.
There's no one that says, no. There's no one that says, okay, if you are going to have a party at 2 a.m. in the morning, then everyone who walks into the room, we collect their phones.
We collect phones, collect IDs.
Yep. So where is the, it's very logical.
Yeah.
But people don't use it. And that's where you have your crisis management that sets in.
Now, we've been talking a lot about people, but what about organizations? And this, my producer just handed this to me right before we went on the air, where the Soho location, south of Houston in New York, for Prada.
I saw that.
Has, in their display, in their holiday display, blackface holiday merchandise in the racist imagery of Black Sambo, black dolls with huge red lips and kinky twists. Gosh,
wow.
I haven't seen anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, since crazy.
In decades, you know, people. If you have the money, black people like Prada. They like the shoes, they like the suits,
yep.
they like the fragrances. But apparently, Prada doesn't like black people.
But you know,
when you do things like that.
We see this every day. It's a different brand mm-hmm, that mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that just, and I mean it's hard to differentiate between the malice and
the stupidity.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I do think there may be some actual malice in some of these situations, but mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just stupidity.
Ignorance,
I mean, you don't have any
as opposed to racism.
You don't have, you know, somebody at the table that has not just there for a face, but actually has the power and authority to say no to something. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, you're gonna, even if it's just, hey, you're gonna hurt your brand with this.
And see, that's where the stupidity comes in with that company, because someone has not done the data processing to mm-hmm. say, this is your black dollar.
Yep.
This is your bottom line where mm-hmm. your minority dollars are coming in, because they're not valuing it to do that type of display.
Yeah.
And also, I would argue that, again, going with the conversation of ignorance versus racism, as time moves on, people with institutional knowledge retire. Mm-hmm. Leave these mm-hmm, organizations, mm-hmm. businesses, institutions, and then you have someone who says, oh, well, let's just put some really dark dolls in with really big lips, because if you know anything about the product, black is Prada's color. Anything mm-hmm. That they it's always mm-hmm. black, mm-hmm. and then they want to throw in, you know, a little red right
yeah.
exactly, and no one knows, and then all of a sudden you get a story like this, And then, you know, the executives are looking around and they're all under a certain age and they just don't understand. And so I agree. That is why you need diversity. That's why you need, someone to do the digital diligence.
I'm saying one of the rules that we instituted in our, and, you know, we have a Black Republican Collective, right? And so 2016, when, you know, candidates were coming to us, oh, we want to work with you, need your support. And, you know, we sent people out. You need somebody at the table that has authority to, one, reach the principal involved, but two, can say no. Can say no, and that no means something.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of these brands are missing.
Who is the logical person that's in that marketing department that said, wait a minute,
they don't have one.
That's the issue.
They don't have a Virgil.
And, you know, and even
they don't have a Lamont.
They don't have a Lamont.
Well, you know, all your skin folks are not your kinfolk. There you go. Eugene Craig and Nicole Kirby, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it. And that is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 14th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.